Artlist.io.
Reason for that to feel the pressure. But like the wind is making extra. I can show my mother making a gesture. I can like the love and know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Let's go, let's go. We're back. It's your boy C-Rock in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. I got Amanda Quinn in the house. Guys, another great guest for you. We're going to continue to bring you great guests to share what they're made of. And today, Amanda's here without her bestie, Laura.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford both of them, so I just got Amanda. No, I'm just kidding. But they're co-founders of Fit Chicks Academy, and they also call it FCA. They're on a mission to get all women pumped and involved in their health and in turn build healthier families and communities worldwide. They have packaged over 20 years of expertise in fitness, yoga, nutrition, and business into Fit Chicks Academy to give you ladies, I assume it's ladies, all the tools to take your fitness, career, healthy knowledge, and life to the next level. So Amanda, Let's start the show the right way here. I want to know what you're made of.
What am I made of? It's a good question. I thought a lot about this and I was like, you know, I think if I had to think of it, I would say probably determination, grit, empathy, and kindness. I think those are kind of like the words. If I had to use words to describe me, those would be the words that I would use.
Yeah. Have you always been a kind person?
I think so. I like to believe that. Yeah. I went through a period of time. I'm going to be honest and really authentic again. I went through a period of time when I was younger, like in middle school, that I wasn't so kind.
Mean girls.
I wasn't a mean girl. I just was going through like, and this is the thing that I think that a lot of people don't realize, right? It's like, you don't know what someone else is going through. So it's, and it doesn't give anyone an excuse to be not kind or anything like that. But I was going through some really crazy stuff growing up. And so I was outwardly projecting it. And I can see that now. And obviously I wasn't like a terrible like bully and like being super mean to people, but I wasn't kind. I wasn't like a kind person. And now I like to consider myself to be like very kind and generous and thoughtful of others. And I try to bring up my little one to be that same way.
Well, so let's chat about that. What were you going through? Let's get right to it. What were you going through at that time?
Well, so in middle school, I went through a lot. So my sister passed away. So when I was 9, she was 11, she passed away. And it was really unexpected. And when she passed away, it took our whole family unit. Like we had this, you know, this family unit that seemed outwardly as like, you know, the traditional kind of family, my mom and dad and my sister and I, and I have a younger brother and sister. And, you know, we lived in this middle-class neighborhood and all these kinds of things. And then when my sister passed, my whole family unit fell apart. My mom turned to drugs and my dad turned to crime. So my dad ended up going to jail. My mom ended up becoming a drug addict. And it was just, I was 9. I was like trying to navigate all of this and also losing my sister, who was also my best friend. So it was like this massive, you know, like my whole world just fell apart. So when I say I wasn't kind, it was, I can honestly say, if anyone's listening to this and they knew me from then, I promise you, it wasn't coming from a place of a core of who I am. It was coming from a place of just hurt and misunderstanding in my own life.
Man. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's not personal. It's about really you're talking to yourself when you reflect, like you said, you reflect out. So what happened to her? Like at 11 years old?
Yeah. So we don't know 100%. Like I've always went on the belief that it was an accident, but if I'm being really honest and authentic, and I've never actually shared this publicly, I found my sister hanging from my doorknob of my bedroom.
Oh my goodness.
So it was devastating, obviously, and very like, just, you know, you don't even know how to process that.
Oh,
right. And so, so I was really young and I walked up to go to bed and that's what I saw. So, But I mean, you know, when I say that I come from this place of determination, though, integrity, empathy, and understanding, it's like a lot of people would be in my position and probably be thinking like, you know, I have a really good relationship with my mom. My mom is like an incredible person. She's transformed her life too. She's no longer into drugs and everything else. And she's really good. And I don't have any anger towards her. I also don't have any anger towards the situation because I feel like I went through a lot of my life where I suppressed it, of course, because that's what we do as humans. And then when I got a little bit older, I went through a lot of PTSD anxiety where it came up and showed up in different ways in my life. And I was doing really chaotic things in my life. And then I healed myself in that part. It took 7 years. Honestly, Mike, 7 years of, I worked with a one-on-one with an alternative therapist, doing like energy work, Qigong work, meditations, that kind of thing, to really just go through all of those emotions and to learn how to like feel again and think again and all of these things. And once I got through to the other side, I was able to just realize that like, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life, 100%. But it also taught me so much about life. It taught me how precious life is. It taught me about how to truly love people and how to learn to like actually appreciate your moments. Your moments here on this earth matter so much. And also to give to other people because you don't know what they're going through. So like all of that kind of who I am today is because of everything. And I think everybody is that, right? Everybody is, but it's about what you take from it and then how you can hold it. And it doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen like, you know, when I was 10, I didn't realize these things. It took me many years to get to that place.
Yeah, man. And so just to let you know, there's a lot of people that can relate. Maybe they didn't find their family member but they've had it happen in their family or friends.
Totally.
You know, my grandmother did it. My stepfather's father did it. Like now, again, I don't know if we don't know if it's accident or whatever on your situation, but still nonetheless, like that's a different kind of death to handle.
Yeah.
I describe it as, and we're going to pivot here in a second, but like, this is important because a lot of people can relate to this. I describe this as, it was like a burning hurt feeling, like electrical. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a different feeling when you find this out. And then as I've gotten older, like numerous people have experienced this situation and it's just like, I feel so helpless with it. Mm-hmm. Did you have a helpless feeling from it? Like, I wish I could have did something. I can't do anything. And it's like,
yeah,
if I was just there, or I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of my life. And again, this is a part that I went through a lot of healing process on, and it took a long time to get to this place, but I went through a lot of my life thinking like, what if I just went upstairs with her to go play? You know, what if like and I always blamed myself. I had so much like self-blame and hatred towards myself around it. And then it was like, what if I would have done it? But the thing is that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. And you have to, like, there's this mantra that I used going through my healing process. And it was like, I love and approve of myself and I trust the process of life. And I had to say that to myself over and over and over again during my healing process, because it allowed for me to really just like own that and understand that it's not me. It's just the way it was laid out. It was just, there's nothing I could have done differently, because it was just, this is how, whatever, like God wrote this, you know, like however you want to believe, whatever you believe in, it's, this is what was laid out in the pathway. And it only took her, I always think of it as this way too. For me, that's something that was really powerful, was thinking it only took her 11 years to teach us all so many lessons, right? And that's so powerful. It's like, every life matters and everything you do in your life is teaching someone else, whether you think so or not. Every single thing that you do impacts someone else. And so you have to think about that, and you have to recognize that everything you're doing is impacting, whether you know people are watching or not, and whether it's going to directly impact them or subconsciously impact them, everything you do impacts the people, especially surrounding you in your life.
Yeah, 100%. And so your parents, your mother turned to drugs, your dad turned to crime. Like, what did he do? Like, was he like that before, or this like just pushed
him? I don't know. See, the thing with my dad is that I always saw my dad as just my dad, right? So I don't really know, to be honest. Like, if I'm being completely honest with you, I don't actually know. I never asked him. I never wanted to know the answers to any of those things. And I just kind of left it. I just knew that he went to jail. My house was raided. Like, this whole thing happened in our lives. And it kind of felt like a movie. Like, if I look back now, it's almost like, it feels like I'm telling you like a movie script, but it's actually my life from growing up.
Right.
So I actually moved out. So I moved out at the age of 16. So I moved out of my family's house, 'cause I was like, you know what? I just need to like figure this out, because I knew that this wasn't a good environment for me. And I also knew that it wasn't the pathway that I wanted to take. So at 16, while I was in high school, which I graduated with honors, and I went and paid off, like, and I went to school, like post-secondary, and I paid for everything myself. I worked full time while I was going to high school. I worked at a flower shop, and it was like this little flower shop called Flower Mania. It was like a really, it was a really chaotic place. And, but it was like, that's how I paid my rent, and that's how I paid for school. And then I started bartending and doing that to pay for my college education and everything else.
Did you ever get into partying when you got into the bar scene? Cause I did.
I
never did before. I never drank until after I graduated, and then it was on for like 2 years.
No, I started really young. Like, obviously being in an environment where my mom was doing drugs and things like that, and I could see it and I saw it happening. I actually started experimenting with like drugs and alcohol at a very young age. And then I got into like bartending and all that. And of course I was actually paid by the bar that I worked at. They actually they didn't pay us for our hourly. We got our tips, and then they paid us with alcohol. So we were encouraged to drink while we were working. And so it was a fun place when I was young to I would party while I was working, make a lot of money, pay for my schooling. It was great. It was like this whole, like, it felt like a winning scenario at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't last though.
No.
and man, you know, I was just thinking back to those days and like when you got into that world and then you became the hookup for different things, you felt like on top of the world, you felt like you were the coolest.
Yeah.
If you knew somebody that had something or knew something or whatever. And it's like, it's just weird how that works, man. But it ends up being very dark at times after a while. So like after you got out of bartending and all that, like where did you go from there? And like, how did you grow up, so to speak?
How did I grow up? It's a good question. So basically so my business partner with Fit Chicks Academy, she has been my best friend since grade 9. So we've actually been best friends for a very, very long time. And we started getting into like our health and fitness and stuff. And like, we weren't sporty or athletic growing up, but at a young age, we decided to go to the gym together. We started working out. We started going to yoga. Like, I remember the first yoga class I went to, we used to go to this, it was like before like studios were really popular and stuff. And I'm totally aging myself by saying that, but we went to this man's house. He used to teach yoga like in his attic, and we would go to this class every week. We'd take the bus there and go.
Wait a minute. Did he look like the guy from Couples Retreat, the yoga instructor from Couples Retreat?
Kind of.
That guy?
Kind of.
The guy that goes boom, boom.
Yeah, he kind of did. And it was like so weird because they had like, they drove a school bus and like they full on, like it was literally like they were from a movie too, because they had like after class, they would have like a vegan buffet for anyone who participated that his wife made and all this stuff. And it was like, we were young though. So we were like, no, we're going to leave. Like, we just leave. We never stayed. And we were always like, this is a little, it was like a little bit too much for us at that moment.
Yeah.
But anyways, like fast forward, I basically went to school. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. So I went to school, went to post-secondary school. Then I went and got a corporate job. And the first job I actually got didn't help that scenario at all, because I was actually working in the music industry. So I used to work for House of Blues concerts. So here in Canada, where I am, I used to run all the on-site like partnership events and stuff at one of our amphitheaters. And then in the winter, I would help do partnerships and then sometimes go on tours with bands and things like that. So it was like a, you know, rock and roll kind of lifestyle for a few years. But again, I was young. Then I ended up working for the Toronto International Film Festival. And I was the manager of sponsorship and advertising at a very young age. And I had great opportunities for growth and, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, so to speak. And I just remember Laura and I used to live together, and we used to come home from work and we'd be like, is this all there is it to life? Like, is this it? Like, it's so unfulfilling. Like, we just didn't feel passionate about it. We didn't really care. Like, it's a job that most people would be like, I love this. And I used to be like, wah, wah, like, this is so, like, I don't really care that much about what I'm doing.
Right.
And so we ended up starting Fit Chicks in 2008, actually, with a fitness class. And it started because we were at an outdoor fitness class together, just like participating. And we both sat up from that class and we looked around and we were like, we should just do this. And we walked home literally from that class, sat at our dining room table, and we're like, what do we call ourselves? And we just came up with the name Fit Chicks. We told our friends, everybody said we were crazy. They're like, don't do it. You're going to leave your amazing job to go run around in a park teaching fitness. And we're like, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Especially in Canada. Parks are cold. Outside stuff is cold in Canada. All I can think about is like igloos and Eskimos or something.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's Alaska.
You're not
just kidding
in that sense. Cause like last week it was minus 27 here in Canada. Like it was cold, like so cold that you're not supposed to go outside. But in the summer, it's really nice and warm. It's like,
yeah, I know. Florida weather. Like, it's beautiful. Yeah, for like a month, but
for like three.
so then like you were doing these outdoor and all local stuff, and then is everything still local, or have you digitized?
At the beginning, it basically started with like one like boot camp location, and we started teaching fitness in this park, and we're like, I don't know, like, are we going to be good at this? Are we going to suck at this? Are people going to show up? Are they going to come back? Like, we have no idea what to expect. But we're like, we just got to do it. You got to do it scared, right? So we just did it anyways. And we were like, let's just see what happens. And we taught the class, and then it sold out really quickly. So sold out for us. We always capped it at 20 people. So then we sold out that camp. We opened up another location and we started just teaching. And the first time, I got to tell you, that was so embarrassing. And I just want to share this with your listeners too, because like in the beginning of business, you do things that like you don't really know what you're doing, right? And so when we first started teaching the first fitness class together, we thought we had to teach it like together because there was two of us. And so it was literally like a WWE tag team. Like, we would be like, you teach for 5 minutes, and then we like high five, and then I teach. And it was so awkward. Like, I don't highly not recommend to anyone at all who's teaching fitness with a partner. But so I digress. But so then we basically started hiring other trainers. We built out a model that we could duplicate and replicate, that we can have consistency. And then we hired trainers nationwide. And then at one point we had 35 locations across Canada running. We were operating all of them, and we were just hiring contract trainers to teach them. And then we kind of thought, okay, we want our business to evolve as we evolve as humans, right? And so we took it online. We built an at-home system that we sold. Here in Canada, it's something called the Shopping Channel. Obviously in the United States, it's QVC, so same thing. So we sold it on there. We had like, that was super fun. So I was like selling on there, and like, it's so weird because you have like this head mic and all these timers and countdowns and all this stuff. It's cool. And then we just started building that. But then what we realized was there was only like so much impact we can make by teaching the people in the actual classes. So then we're like, let's change directions. And then we started building out our certification program. So our certification programs, was the idea behind it was that we have all this education, all of these tools, all of this information of knowing how to create successful coaching businesses. Let's teach others so they can do it for themselves, so that they can impact their lives, their families, their communities, and then grow this like ripple effect around the world. So that's what we did.
And so now what you're doing is you're teaching other trainers and giving them your IP, basically. They're exactly. Kind of like getting licensed. It's a certification program, but you're like basically selling a licensing, right, in a way.
Sort of, but we're not teaching them like our IP. We're teaching them how like the foundations of like all like becoming a group fitness instructor, personal trainer, nutrition and wellness coach, as well as holistic nutrition practitioners. So we're accredited, and like we've gone through all the steps to get all of those. And then we do teach them like a different approach, and we do give them some done for you materials, but they're not done as a licensing. We just gift them to them because we want to help them. We want to help them fast track. We want to be like, hey, here's a proven model. We know this 8-week program works because we built 7 figures on this program. Take it once you graduate. Yeah. Now you know how to teach. Take this and run with it.
Right. So, but the knowledge that you have is IP. It's your intellectual property, right? So yeah, correct. I mean, it's valuable. And totally. So what's the vision like from here? Like, where are you going to take this? Like, we were talking like offline about your goals for this year and what have you. Like, what does it look like if you were to paint the picture and somebody could just snap their fingers and make it happen?
It's a big question. I think,
thank you.
I think that, you know, the big vision for us, I mean, obviously we want to grow, like I was saying to you earlier, like our goal for this next year is to 10X our business. And 10Xing your business is something that I learned, I can't remember his name. There's like a book about it, and he talks about like 10X is but easier than 1X kind of thing. And it basically just is like, you have to take what is working and you run with that. And then everything else that's sort of working, you have to get rid of. Because the whole thing is that most people in life, if things are good, we don't change anything. But if you want to be great, you have to change things that are good. You have to get rid of the good to get to great, right? And so it's this whole concept. So basically we're in this process of trying to figure out like, okay, what's good, what's great. So we've actually shelved one of our programs so that we could 10X it. And then we're really going all in on developing continuity programs, memberships, so that our programming and our IP becomes more accessible to people, maybe that don't want to get certified, but also just want to help themselves.
Got it. So good to great is, Jim Collins talked about good to great, and the enemy of great is good.
Yeah.
And then also, 10X is easier than 2X. We could look that up. I forget who the author is. I don't know who that is off the top of my head, but Yeah. And Grant Cardone wrote the book 10X Rule, the 10X Rule. And so there's a lot of things out there where, like, just think bigger. Like, one of the things that gets me all the time when I think about this is, like, I don't know how far I can take this thing. Like, and I say this thing, it's like this body and the spirit and this ability that I have. I don't know how far I can take it. Let's see how far I can take this thing. And I want to pull people with me with it. But the fact of the matter is that if you don't push the limits, then you don't know. And so, like, I cannot settle for what I've accomplished already. I just can't. And that's it. Like, it's history to me. Like, every day I wake up, I feel like it's a new day to make that. So I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
I want to propel that for you any way I can. Like, this is something that you said something, what your goal was. You just mentioned 10X. And I'm like, why only 10X?
Yeah.
Right?
I know, and you questioned me on that. And I was like, oh, good question.
Yeah, because, like, one thing for me when we're going through life, it's like sometimes, like, we're waiting for a license from someone else to do what we want to do or see how far, like, we can take our dreams. And then, so there's a book called The 10X Rule, or 10X is bigger and easier than 2X. And then we're like, all right, well, I'm going to 10X then. And I'm not like busting your chops about this, because everybody,
me included,
right? And I'm like, well, that's just allowing them to give me the license to do something. Well, why can't I just go 100X, or just let me see how far I can take this thing? And so I'm a big guy too. I don't know about you, but, like, when I'm watching Instagram, social media, different things, and I'm seeing all these people push all the information, which I appreciate and understand and all that, but, like, half of it's bullshit. And they haven't done it themselves, and then they're just getting it from somewhere else and regurgitating it. Or it's like, if I listen to this person, I might get better to where, from where I am, but it's not going to take me to the potential that I have.
True.
So, like, anyway,
I don't think anyone can actually take you to the potential that you have. It's only you. You're the only vehicle that can do that, because you're the only person that actually knows what's possible. But as I was saying to you offline, like, I think one of the most powerful things you can do is put yourself in a space where you can see other people doing that, because it opens up your capacity. It grows your capacity to see, like, if everyone in your surrounding, if everyone in your circle, like that whole thing of, like, the sum of the five people around you, like, right? This, if everyone around you is doing the same thing, if they're all working 9 to 5 and they're doing this thing, and, you know, you don't see what's possible. But when you surround yourself with other people that are big thinkers and big dreamers, listening to podcasts, it doesn't have to physically be in that. It could be listening to podcasts, it could be doing workshops, it could be following the people, like, curate your social media account so you're just following people that are really about what you want. Then you can see what's possible for you, and it allows for you to see, like, if they can do it, so can I, right? And I think we don't see that if we limit ourselves to who or how we surround ourselves.
Yeah. And the other thing is, what I was thinking about with this is being around the people. I had another thought on this too, and it just came to me. Anyway, I'll think of it. But the thing is, when you guys were starting to make money in your business, right? You started making revenue. And then did you set out targets out in front of you? Like, you just did this year, but, like, before, when you started hitting, you hit that 7-figure number, right? But, like, before that, you started doing, like, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, right? Did you set targets out in front of you that were, like, really big? And then you're like sick to your stomach in a way, like, how the hell are we going to do this? And then you got there. Like, is that how it went, or take us through the process of how you grew the revenue?
Yeah, no. So it's funny, because when we first started our business, we didn't pay attention to our numbers or revenue at all. Like, it's actually embarrassing to say, but, like, as business owners, like, we were teaching our boot camps at some points, like, $600,000-$700,000 a year. And we wouldn't even know that until the end of the year, when our accountant would be like, this is your final numbers. And we're like, okay, we didn't look at our numbers at all. We didn't pay attention to it. We were just kind of like, are our camps selling out? And then as we grew into, like, certifications, we started having targets and goals. But even then, it was like, we'd have a reach goal, and then we would have, like, the regular goal, but it was always based on students, not based on finances. And we still base it on that, to be honest, because we always think, if we can have 300 students join our academy, yes, the revenue will show up, but it's about the impact. It's about, like, the fact that if 300 people come into our academy and finish the course, which we have a really high graduation rate because people want the certification, they want to finish, then we know that we've educated them and given them tools to be able to impact their lives at the very least, if not their families, if not their communities, if not the world, because who knows, people can take this information, build an online program in today's society, and, like, go global, right? We have no idea. So I think those are kind of the numbers.
Cut the shit, Amanda. Hey, cut the shit, Amanda. Money's good. Money's important.
No, I'm saying. I love money.
I'm just messing with you. No, I'm messing with you. I know.
We focus on the number of students because we know if 300 people come in, we already know what the revenue will be on that number.
Yeah. I'm just messing. I'm just busting chops. I just thought.
I know.
So with this, I had a question regarding the marketing. So how did you guys start go to market with yours? And then like, how did you continue to do that and learn when you, and when you're launching something new, like what is your go-to or your process for go to market?
So one of the things that we, ever since day one and still to this day, one of the things that we've always like prided ourselves on is the fact that everything that we market is marketed to empowerment as opposed to insecurities. So if you think about like a lot of like fitness and a lot of wellness and stuff, it's always focused on insecurities. It's focused on like, you want this beach body, you like, you know, are you feeling bad about yourself? Are you this and that? It's always focused on like this negative connotation. So we really focused on empowerment of being like, you're a fit chick, you're healthy, you're taking care of yourself, and not focused on, we never had like crop tops, six pack abs, like any of that vision in like visuals in our marketing. Because that was really important to us to make it so that it was providing an environment that just felt inclusive, that felt like a safe environment for people to just come into. And so that's number one in terms of like our marketing and our messaging, that was really important to us. And then I think for us, whenever we go to market with any new program, the first thing that we do is we always test it with our current audience. Like we have, you know, we're very fortunate that we have a really good foundation of students and graduates of our academy. So we use them as like our testing ground. We always test out a new certification. We just launched one, actually, our menopause certification. We launched it to all of our graduates first. We didn't publicly share it with anyone. Pardon?
Via email?
Yeah, exactly. We love our email list. Our email list is amazing, right? And so we posted in the email. So we send it an email. We posted. We also have a student group. So all of our graduates are invited into a graduate community. There's no charge for it. It's
like
just
a Facebook like
community.
Group or...
Exactly. Yeah. But it's just a community where they can continue to connect and build. And we continue to kind of like do some coaching and helping and supporting them as they're building their business. So we'll post it in there too. But really that's like, that's always the starting ground. It's like, let's test here, see how it goes, and then work out kind of like all the kinks. We always teach all of our programs live the first couple of times so that we make sure that it's like, it flows, it makes sense, all the tweaks, then we record everything and automate it.
Gotcha. And then after the email list, then what do you do for business? Like, where do you take it from there to scale beyond your current group?
I mean, definitely Mark Zuckerberg loves us because we spend a lot of money on Facebook ads. To be honest, like one of the things, and this is the whole thing about 10Xing our business too this year, is when we think about everything that we've done, that we have built to date, has basically been on paid advertising. Organic traffic has never really been our thing. It's never really been a focus. So we sat back and we thought, if we actually spent time and energy to focus on social platforms and actually putting ourselves out there and sharing, then what would happen to our business? It would probably grow significantly because then people get to know you. They get to know, like, and trust you and all that kind of stuff. But we've always just done it all based on paid. And so everything that we've grown has been based on paid advertising.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And so,
and our podcast.
You know, the funny thing about that is I've done it the opposite.
Yeah.
And I
know. And I love that.
But then now I'm like, okay, now we got to get to the next thing. And so, but I can show you some things that would like really help. And there's a lot of value in the people that already know you and you could create like I was talking to you offline, like we created like an affiliate army in a way, because all the people that already we're already working with, presenting guests to, this and that, we give them an opportunity to make money. An impact, right? And so a lot of people are searching for that. They just don't know where to go. And if you've already have a system in place for it to make it easy for them, then you could take your community and turn it into a sales team that's in, like, well, you can call it your impact team. If people don't like the word sales or whatever, this is your impact team.
Right.
And take them out there. And then instead of giving money to, you know, Meta, you give it to your people and you reinvest into your community, which is an awesome, you know, opportunity. So
for sure.
I love brainstorming these kind of things.
We should definitely brainstorm it. I would love that.
So look, and then another thing I was just having success with recently is quizzes. Mm-hmm. And we have this built out, and that's something else I can introduce you to. I'm thinking about creating an arm of our company that builds quizzes for people. Because the lead generation from it has been unbelievable. And I didn't even know about this until recently.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that too. Anybody listening that has interest in this, just DM me on Instagram at Mikey C Rock. I can show you that. But guys, go to fitchicksacademy.com. That's chicks spelled C-H-I-C-K. Fitchicksacademy.com. And then also fitchicksacademy is on Instagram as well. Is there anywhere else you want to send people, Amanda?
No, I mean, if they like podcasts, obviously, because they're listening to yours, if they want to check out our podcast too, they can. It's Fit Chicks Chat. And it's available on all streaming sites.
Yeah, guys, go check that out as well. And also, just so you know, this is a little inside scoop, folks. We're going to try to work out something where we're going to be pushing Amanda and maybe even Laura out there to the world more, because they need to be heard from more. The story, by the way, and like, we could talk offline about this, but I might as well just do it while we're recording. The story that you told in the beginning is so powerful, and it hurts, and I'm sure it brings up old emotions and feelings, and sometimes you may not want, but like, you told me this is the first time you shared that. Yeah. There's so many people that would be blown away by the story and relate to you and, you know, want to be closer to you and maybe like give you a hug while you're telling it, even though it might be virtual. And it's just like, it's so, you can't let that opportunity to impact people go. And to me, it's like, you said that your sister impacted or taught so many lessons in the 11 years she was here, but she can continue to do so in the future. And I just want to encourage you to do that.
I appreciate that. I really do. And the only reason why I haven't shared it publicly was because I wasn't ready before. I think when you're in the process of healing and when you're in the process of trying to figure out what all of this even means and how this even impacts you or how it could impact you in the future, it's so hard to even distinguish what that looks like. Right. And so it took me a long time. It also took me a long time to get over the idea that I needed permission to share it, because I always felt nervous. Like, if I share it, then my family's going to be mad or they're going to be upset. And I was just like, you know what, this isn't their story and this isn't their life. This is mine. And I'm being respectful of it. I'm not being disrespectful in any way of them, but it took a while to get to that place, but now I'm at that place. And it's interesting. I appreciate that you said that, because it's actually part of this next part of my journey. And I don't even know how it would ties back to my organization or anything. And I don't really know if that matters, right? To me right now, it's really just about if I can share that and it can help someone else see like how to maybe move forward or think of, not move forward, but how they can like start their own healing process. I want to do that.
So you have Fit Chicks. Here's how it aligns. You have Fit Chicks, right? And it aligns there too, because Fit Chicks are all overcoming different things.
Of course.
All different levels of things, maybe multiple things, maybe one thing. But then there's also Amanda Quinn. And Amanda Quinn is part of Fit Chicks, and Amanda Quinn is who you are, not what you do. Fit Chicks is what you do. That's a vehicle that you're driving to go to your mission. All right. And then, but Amanda is who you are, and you find out who you are. That's how you can become that one. And then you lean into it unapologetically, unlicensed, uncertified, rolling in, letting people know who you are and that you're here to impact and whatever your mission is. And that's the difference. And that's how it works. And then Amanda happens to be a founder and operator and owner of partner and co-founder, whatever, of Fit Chicks Academy.
Yeah.
And that will blow the roof off. That authenticity, and that's the difference. So for everybody listening, I hope you're getting something out of this. I figured this stuff out. I'm actually going to write a book about who am I. I think I might title it that, but I'm not sure. But it's all about the identification of like knowing who you are and leaning into it unapologetically, and what happens if you don't. Because look, a lot of women identify as wives, mothers, their career that they're doing, or they even identify with some of the trauma that they've been through. But that's not them. That's just the things that they went through or their vehicle.
Correct.
But athletes, veterans, they all identify with what they do. And then when that's over, they're lost.
They don't know what to do.
So if we can be proactive about that and teach people, like, don't identify with what you do. It's it's a dead-end street. Start now. Then we might be able to impact the planet more. So anyway, Amanda, I appreciate you being here. Amanda Quinn, everybody. Amanda Quinn. And I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to doing some things with you and collabing in the future. And everybody that's listening or watching, however you're consuming this content, I really appreciate you all. Thank you for being here. Continue to keep coming back. Make sure you rate, subscribe, download, whatever you can do to help us out, because I'm always appreciative of it, and we all need it to go further. So until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studios on the What Are You Made Of show. Be that one.
Artlist.io.
Present the dance, feel the pressure.